This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's like going into Wisconsin.
Well, I got the kicked out of me in Wisconsin once. Forget it.
Snap count on my mind, Romo hand on my butt. Bitch, I'm the center, and that's what's up. Yeah, I touch the ball on every play. And if you see me coming at you, it's time to pray. I got a big-ass beard and a real mean streak. In the bedroom, I'm a super freak. I once ate a whole honey-baked ham. Ask a DT who the f*** I am. My name is Frederick. Yeah. Travis Frederick.
Yes, once again, thanks to Dr. Pepper, the one you crave, and Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. It's time for our weekly visit with the great Travis Frederick, center for the Dallas Cowboys. And let's dive right in. The segment before this, we were wondering if Coach Garrett had his own private bathroom in his office, because we saw him, we talked to him in the hallway briefly. He just kind of gave us, how you doing, guys?
Yeah.
How we doing? And then we were just wondering what his day was like. We know he gets here early and stays super late.
Yep.
And so we were just kind of, we're men, we're talking about bathroom breaks and stuff, and we're just curious. A man that powerful probably, you know, maybe he has his own bathroom in his office, or maybe he doesn't. That'd be a power move. And so KT said he does. You said he does?
I think he does.
He said he does have a, and I said he doesn't.
And you guys, what'd you bet on it?
We bet to have to do a live broadcast, a remote appearance in a Santa suit.
Nice.
Next
I think
Tuesday.
Both of you would look good in Santa suit.
Yeah.
So
I thought you said a Satan suit.
No.
Okay.
So the question is, can you tell us, Travis Frederick, does Coach Garrett have his own personal executive bathroom in his office?
This is a hard question for me because I don't want to get in the middle of you two, but I am pretty sure. I don't have 100% confidence. I'm pretty sure he has a bathroom in his office. I can say with 100% confidence he used to have a bathroom in his office at Valley Ranch.
Is that because he would call meetings there and make you guys sit in there while he'd go to the bathroom?
Well, you always wonder where he was. You know, you'd walk in there and all of a sudden, you know, he wasn't there and he'd pop out from a secret door.
Right. What a smell.
Yeah, I mean, there was some stenches. So I mean, imagine how old that office was at Valley Ranch.
Yeah.
Like how many people had been in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not
Jimmy killed that thing.
Specifically the restroom there, but even the office. I
mean, that's an elite power move. Like, you can talk about getting to a place in your career where you get acclaim or whatever, but to have your own office bathroom, you've made it once that happens.
I just think that means you're working really hard. That you don't have time to get all the way across the way to the bathroom. And here in the Star, you guys have been here, and for those of you that haven't, it's massive, and things are very far apart. It's like a 5-minute walk from the locker room to the lunchroom. So even the bathrooms are sometimes a little bit farther of a walk. So, you know, that can bring some inefficiencies in your day if you're not in that restroom right there off your office.
Some of the best old school coaches, Lombardi used to just go in his pants because he didn't even have time.
Football is a very unique sport where a lot of gross things happen, and I don't want to get into the specifics of what happens on game day, but I can imagine that, you know, coaches that have played before certainly are used to this sort of thing.
High school coaches used to go make guys, like in the wintertime, like warm the pot up for them. Seriously.
What does that mean?
You'd go make a player or a manager, water boy type, go sit on the pot. It's like at a field house. It's crappy. Go sit on the pot, and then the coach comes on.
Wait,
does he let you get – is this the position you played?
Hold on.
No.
He lets you get on the
worst. No, this is like 60s and 70s.
He sits on your thighs?
No.
Go put your body on that toilet, and I'm going to use it.
But that's what old coaches used to do back in the day. They used to go –
What coach told you this?
this is real.
This is very normal, young KT. Here's what you're going to do. Here's
not
what I'm going to do.
In the 70s. This is a thing.
This is always the way we've done it. This is not unusual.
All right, kids, everybody get naked. This is a tradition. It's normal in the country. Go to the field house. Everybody go to the field house right now.
The field house was where the locker room is.
What else did some of these coaches trick you into doing, Katie?
I didn't do any of these things.
That is interesting. There were no toilets there. It was just a pot.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Boy, go dig a hole in the ground. I got to go potty.
There's a famous coach, and I never played for him again because it was 30 years before I was born.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Travis. Quit peppering him.
So we're about the same age.
Coach Rogers would tell Coach Rogers would tell the kids to go
Coach
warm the
Rogers.
Pot up.
Yeah.
Wow. My old grandpa.
It was with a D.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Always
bringing that.
That's how we do it. All right. Travis Frederick joining us for the Travis Frederick Show.
That's how we procreate.
Yeah. Brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the one you crave, and Miller Lite. Oh, guys, yeah. It's the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys.
True that.
All right. So, Travis, I'm not sure if you've been keeping up with things. You guys are on an incredible win streak. What do you think is the primary reason that you guys are rattling off these dubs?
Well, I have fortunately been able to follow along, so I'm glad that I've been able to see this happening. But I think it's just been a growing confidence among the team. I think football is an interesting sport, and actually most sports are like this, that when you have a little bit of confidence behind what you're doing, you're a little bit more aggressive or you feel better about what you're doing, and things start to happen better for you. And I think that's a little bit what's happened here is we have a good amount of confidence in what we're doing, how we're doing it, and looking forward how we can do it in the future.
What is your general belief on clutch? In other words, can you be born with that clutch gene, for lack of a better term? Do you think it's more you can be taught this? Do you think people make a bigger deal out of it than it is? Because this is something we talk about a lot on Sports Talk Radio, is the idea of clutch.
Yeah, I don't think it's something you're born with. I do think it's something that you can develop naturally, and I think it's something that can be taught. It's very difficult, and you have to have the right mindset to be able to acquire that and to get to that point. But it depends on how you approach the game. For me, I don't think it's a big deal. Because of the way that I approach the game on a play-by-play basis, and I sort of let go of everything that's happened before and sort of ignore all of the surrounding situations. There's a play that's called. There's a defense that's opposing me. I need to run that play against that defense. And to me, it's almost like a math problem. You just go out there and you solve the problem, and it's done. Hmm. So when I do it that way, it doesn't matter if it's 4th-and-1 in overtime or if it's 1st-and-10 in the middle of the second quarter. Every play is just as important as the play before or the play after.
You never, like, you're snapping the ball, and the snap for 4th-and-1 to win a Super Bowl is no different to your heartbeat as the 1st-and-10 in the first preseason game. Are you able to block that out?
For me, it's not. I think when you think about it that way, then the game becomes way bigger than it is. And you have to approach every game the same way, too. I know that playoff games are quote-unquote bigger or more important than regular season games, but to be honest, that's not necessarily a truth, because you have to win so many games to even get into the dance. And then from there, each one is that way. So you have to win the games. It's sort of how it works. So if you approach it a certain way, I think you can avoid the idea of having to be clutch, having to think about that and be your best in that circumstance. If you can be your best all the time, why not do that?
This follow-up question is brought to you by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And Dr. Pepper, love the one you're with.
Oh, crave it.
So everyone was making fun of Garrett over and over for process.
Yeah.
But most coaches will tell you dealing with pressure is about process and repetition.
Okay.
And so it's like, if you're in that, what you were describing to me made me think of that. Mm-hmm. Because if you truly, and this is why we go, hey, if you win these next 3 games, it's like, hey, let me work on this play.
Right.
And it really is, it's sort of like, I was thinking about this in terms of free throws. Everybody's making a big deal about DeAndre Jordan making his free throws now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, he's created this process that he goes through. And it takes him out of, oh my God, we're down 1 with 1.5 minutes to go.
Right.
You're not thinking about the score. You're thinking about the process of what you do to achieve this very basic function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the absolute best way to approach that situation. Like I said, if you take all of the extra stuff out of it and take it back to when you were 9 years old shooting on the hoop in your driveway, you did the same thing. You had to go up there. You looked at it. I don't know anything about making free throws, but I imagine it to be that way.
Yeah.
And so, for me in football, it's the same way. We've been doing this for our whole lives. Mm-hmm. And the game has only changed slightly from where it was back then. And obviously we're playing at a higher level, but it's the same game, and we're playing a game. It's not a life or death situation. It's a game. And so when you kind of minimize all of that stuff around it, even though there are millions of people that are, you know, seemingly on the edge of their chair about what you're going to do next. If you can avoid thinking about all of that, it makes it a whole lot easier.
We're talking to Travis Frederick. This interview brought to you by Miller Lite, a delicious beer, and Dr. Pepper, what the kids drink while you're craving beer.
Yep.
Okay, so one of the things we were talking about is rest versus rust, and it has to do with the offensive line specifically.
Okay.
Because, obviously, Tyron's banged up. He's so banged up, he's having to put leg braces on his arm. It's crazy, right? And now Zach is hurt as well, and obviously the line is already not at full power because we're without the great Travis Frederick. So, you know, obviously, things are going really well for you guys in the standings, and it's really looking like you guys could clinch the NFC East. And I'm just curious about how important is it to, I don't know, go full throttle with Tyron and Zach and get them out there to get the NFC East as opposed to, hey, listen, let's just count on our backups here. Let's get these guys healthy because if we do play significant postseason games, we need those guys to be at full power.
Yeah, I think there's arguments both ways, and that's what makes it such a great topic for you guys to talk about, because you guys can argue back and forth about it. but I think they're valid. I think that you want guys to be healthy for a potential postseason run, but you can't make a postseason run if you don't make the postseason. So it's important that we get a win, and that will certainly make things a little bit easier in that argument. But also, as when injuries go, pushing to get back early can sometimes be a detriment, and you can put yourself at risk for a greater injury. So then you have to balance the idea of, do you risk yourself maybe not being able to play in any of those playoff games, or do you take a seat for one game and get a rest, or what it is? So to me, it's hard because every situation is a little bit different. I could easily say right now, like, oh, I'd love to be back, and I'd love to push to be back just for one game. But does that make sense for the long term? And I think it's hard for people on the outside to view it as a long term thing. That we're adults, we're young men that have lives to live ahead of us, and there are consequences for our actions. So sometimes being very sure and very deliberate about our return to play protocol is a very important thing.
Reggie, I have a question for you, sponsored by Miller Lite and Dr. Pepper. Are you prepared to do Travis ranking something? Could you do a countdown with numbers?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Guys, I got an idea here, Ben. I was going to let, initially, you have something you want to do here.
No.
I was going to let Travis choose.
As he pulls out a paper.
In honor of rust versus rhythm, you can either rank things that are very likely to get rusty or rank your favorite percussion instruments. You pick rust versus rhythm. You ready,
going
Reggie?
To pick rhythm.
Okay, rhythm. Okay. How many?
Go for it, Reg.
Number five on the rhythm instruments, I am going to choose the vibraphone, which is slightly different than the xylophone.
Yeah.
It gives a really nice as you're playing.
I didn't see that coming. That's good.
I didn't either. That's good.
Not anticipate that.
One of the more melodic rhythmic instruments.
Yeah. All right.
Number four is the timpani. I really think that would be really appropriate for Shippy right now doing his Christmas thing. I think that's such a I hope that he knows how to play the timpani. That would be fantastic.
This is incredible.
That's all good.
Right, let's see where this goes.
Number three is the marching tom-toms.
Okay.
And
those sound cool.
You can go with the tri-toms. You can go with, you know, what I think the quad toms is the correct amount.
Yes.
I think you can get enough different pitches, but also be able to utilize them all. God, you get to five, and man, it's really hard to hit that fifth one.
Wealth of knowledge about so many different
it's
topics.
Incredible.
All right, let's see at the grand finale.
Number two is the classic piano. I think the piano, many would argue that it should be number one, because it carries so many melodies. And
I would have had that number one,
often
personally.
Often not regarded as a percussion
rhythm instrument, right.
However, it absolutely is.
Sure.
And
comping with your left hand. You hear it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't necessarily have to be rhythm. You said percussive instruments.
Right. He's really right. You're striking keys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's actually the hammer that concusses the string there, not necessarily your hands on the keys. It's a fun thing. But I think the piano is great, but not nearly as good in the rhythm category as number one. Number one is the expanded drum kit. You have the whole thing that's up there. You got a couple of floor toms. You got a couple of toms up top.
What about like some wind chimes up top?
Cymbals are huge. I like this. I like the wind chimes, little cowbell. You got to have all sorts of these cymbals around. The cymbals are the thing that really sets off the drum kit. You got your good snare. You hit that hi-hat back and forth. You can.
You were in band in high school, weren't you?
I maybe played a percussive instrument in middle school.
That was really your best work.
It's awesome.
Thanks, guys. Would you get in trouble if you rocked a deuce in Coach Garrett's private bathroom?
Absolutely not. I would be so secretive. Although there are as many cameras here as there are bathrooms.
One saw KT tear that mannequin apart earlier.
That was me. I accidentally knocked the arm off the mannequin.
That was very nice.
KT put it back.
I thought it was KT that did it.
If you could, though, you don't have to do it while you're doing the act, but I'd like to see you get a picture in Coach Garrett's bathroom.
A picture in
just
Coach
get us
Garrett's
a picture
bathroom.
Of just I want to know that it exists.
Okay.
See what you can do.
I think there's some merit to that. I can see what I can do.
Yeah, to be in it or anything.
A picture with Coach Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, well, see, that could be a little bit more
just
difficult.
Do it the way KT's coach taught him back in the
Garrett.
Day.
You could warm it up for Garrett in the crappy field house.
They have heating here. They have central heating.
Do you think they have the seat heater?
Oh, it could be. Yeah. Very nice. We'll talk to our listener who has the blueprint. Travis, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. We love you. There goes Travis Frederick. Give it up. The great Travis Frederick.
Really good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.